Please be seated. And please open the Bible with me in Luke chapter 18. Now, if you'd like a Bible in your hand, there are Bibles on the stacks at the back there, on the racks. Please do leap out of your seat now and grab one and borrow one, and you can have one on hand. The Bible reading is going to be on the screen. As I was saying this morning, a couple of people this week have sent me a link on Facebook by a fitness instructor, a personal trainer, who's also a Christian leader. And his comments are fascinating. He said, you know, if people who went to the gyms, if they had the same attitude to physical fitness as Christians do to prayer and spiritual disciplines, they'd spend the entire week studying fitness magazines as they got fatter and stiffer. And so as we launch into a series on prayer, it's going to be interesting to see at the end of this time if we just spent the time studying the fitness magazines or if we are actually praying more. Let's open ourselves up to what God's got for us, and let's start reading what Jesus has to say for us in Luke chapter 18. Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men, and there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, he will find faith on the earth. Will he find faith on the earth? Will he? Or he will? Actually, perhaps not so clear in the original Greek, but you're probably right. Yeah, will he find faith on the earth? That was the Peter Cousins translation you just heard. The unauthorized version. And probably best discounted. The ancient Jewish judges were called Dayanah Gezeroth, which means judges of punishment. But locally, people used to call them Dayanah Gezeloth, which means robber judges. There was only one letter difference between them. And the people knew it. People are vulnerable. And in the ancient world, people were vulnerable and reliant on judges, and on judges being honest. And they weren't always. But Jesus has just this wonderful counsel for us to keep on praying. It's an odd parable in that you've got to be careful, because he's not actually comparing God to an unjust judge and saying God is like the judge. It's a parable of opposition. In other words, the whole point is that you know right from the beginning that God is not like that unjust judge. Jesus assumes you know that and you see that. If you took it too literally, it would make a nonsense out of Jesus' teaching. So you know that God isn't a robber judge. And you know that when Jesus tells you to come to God in prayer, it's because he believes in prayer. And in fact, he calls God his Father in prayer. So the judge is unjust, and he's pretty shameless. And that was a great sin in the ancient world. You weren't supposed to be shameless. You're supposed to draw a modicum of honor around yourself, even if it was just a facade. But this guy really couldn't care less. He doesn't care what the tabloids say about him, and he doesn't care about campaigns on Facebook against him. He's shameless. He does exactly what he wants, and because he has friends high up who are protecting him, presumably, and his position. It's a kind of irony. He's a judge who has no fear of the judge. He doesn't fear God, or he doesn't fear men. So it's a judge who doesn't fear the judge. It's a bit of an anomaly, really, isn't it? But that is the man. And how on earth are you going to get this guy on your side if you're a penniless widow? Not only are you poor, you're also a woman, which was in the ancient world was like a double whammy, really, when it came to something like this. You had less power than anybody else. You had less power than the men, and then you had less power than the rich. So this woman really faces an impossible task. But in a sense, when we come to pray, isn't it always impossible? I mean, if it's possible, then why are we praying in that sense? I mean, the prayer should be changing what we can't change. Because if we can change it, we should jolly well go out and change it. But it's, when you can't change it, then you pray because you know you can't. And that's the point when you begin to move heaven and earth in your prayers. And so she's got reasons to give up. And Jesus expects us to identify with her. Now, the macho guys among you might struggle with this, but Jesus is encouraging you to think of yourself as a poor widow, an elderly poor widow. Just think yourself into the role for a minute. She has no power other than one thing: she won't give up. Actually, the only thing she can do is keep going. It's the one thing she's got. That's the one bullet in a revolver, in a sense. It's just she won't give up. That persistence is all she can do. She's too weak to fight. She's too poor to pay. And she's too humble. She's too lowly to threaten. In fact, women didn't normally attend court hearings, but this one does. At least she pesters the judge at the door. Pesters her so much that in my translation it says she'll eventually wear me out. Bailey's translation is she'll give me a headache. She'll give me a migraine. This woman is really going to do my head in. So in the end, he gives way. And Jesus said, you know, it's contrast. Well, if even someone like that gives way, just imagine how God, who wants in the first place to hear you and help you, imagine how much God is on your side, how much easier it's going to be with God. But you've got to keep going. You've got to have persistence in prayer. Because God's people are being mistreated. God's people are struggling. God's people are being ignored by the world. God's people are suffering. Therefore, he says, you need to pray. You need to have in your armament this power of prayer. And I think it's, you know, that sense of powerlessness that that gives an edge to prayer. I've worked with some of the poorest people on the planet. I've worked with the landless, like our missionaries, Tim and Rosie Della, are working still in Brazil with them. I worked with these guys. In my day, the landless had even less power and privilege and protection help than the landless in Brazil do today. But I worked with these people. They were the poorest people I've ever worked with, probably. But boy, when they prayed, heaven stopped to listen. And the answers to prayer were just phenomenal among those people. So I want you to kind of put behind you your Western superiority. I came across a beautiful one today. We are called, in terms of analyzing the world, we are called weird. Weird. Western. What's the second one? I would be what? Can't remember what I... educated, rich, and democratic. I can't remember what the I stands for now. But basically, that's what we are. And we're empowered. We're empowered people. We think we've probably got more power than most people in history have had. And that kind of takes the edge off our prayers, because we kind of think that we don't need God. But people who are not Western and not educated, not rich, and don't live in democracies and don't have any of our privileges, they know that life is fragile, so they pray. They pray. Now, the studies in this series, and I'm not quite sure how many studies are going to be, I've only prepared the first four or five, are all based on Bill Hybels' book, Too Busy to Pray. It's been out for years. I only just caught up with it. But it has some nice sections and headings, and I thought that would be quite good to base the prayers on. And I thought, rather than me launch into the series, I thought it'd be good, because he's got a video on it, and I'm going to dip into the DVD now and then. So I thought, for the rest of the study this morning, we'd listen to Bill talking, just introducing this theme of prayer, and then in coming weeks, we're going to build up on it and try and build into our regime something that we actually do to pray, rather than just study prayer. See if we can't change some of our prayer patterns over the next few weeks. Are you ready? You happy to do that with me? You ready to change? It's not looking good. Okay, well, all right. I hope those of you who are will come with me and do some real hard fitness training, some real circuit training here in terms of prayer. So, let's listen to Bill and his team as they introduce prayer to us now. Okay, so Bill has set us the challenge. Let's do something about our prayer life. See if we can spend a couple of months, probably, going through different scriptures and getting some homework. Fancy getting some prayer homework, stuff to take home and pray. Please don't tell me that you're too busy to pray, because you're not. And if you're a student, let me tell you now that you've got more time and more flexibility to pray now than you're ever going to have in the rest of your life. I know you find that hard to believe, but it's true. So let me encourage you now to get your prayer life straight now, because that's going to be the pattern for your spiritual discipline throughout life. So let's do something. I'm going to be giving out very simple things to do week by week, things that we can take home and try during the week and build them into our routine. I'm not trying to force you into one particular routine or one particular way of doing it. I don't think that's right. I don't think that's fair. I think it's up to you to discover what works for you. We're going to look at a few things. I haven't quite decided where we're going to come out with all this, but we're going to follow Bill's book. And it's available, still available. You can buy it. There's our study guide and the video, which I have as well. But or you can just come along and pitch up on Sundays and take your homework home and work on it throughout the week. It's kind of up to you.